Guys, I'm Lance Carter from Daily Actor. What's it like to play the same character for the better part of 10 years? Well, Vincent Irizarry, who played the villainous heart surgeon Dr. David Hayward on All My Children, has the answer. He told me that it was exciting and an enormous opportunity to travel that journey. As you probably know, All My Children, which ran on ABC for 41 years, aired its last episode Friday, September 23rd. But the good news is, Prospect Park, the company that acquired the rights to the show, has announced that they're going to bring it to the web. Vincent said that the company is just now starting to reach out to a handful of actors, but they're still in the negotiating stages. I talked to Vincent, who won a Daytime Emmy in 2009, about his time in the fictional Pine Valley, memorizing 30 pages of dialogue, what the last day of shooting was like, and his upcoming fan event, A Tribute to Pine Valley. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Every little click does help. And now, here's Vincent.
So you've been playing the same role for, 12 years now?
And yeah, all of them, which, yeah, I left for 2 years, so I have to do another show for a while.
Yeah. So, yeah. What is that like? Because I've been, I'm an actor as well, and I've played, you know, the same, like parts for like 2 months at a time. But I've, of course, you know, you're getting, you know, different storylines and things like that. But what's that like playing the same guy for 12 years?
Oh, it's been so intimately for 12 years to play that is a rarity. The opportunity to play any character, I'm sure you can appreciate this as an actor, to have the opportunity to play him for 12 years, that's an enormous opportunity, and it's a great advantage. I really do feel like I know the intimate details of this character, the inner workings of who he is and what makes him tick. You know, and also just to travel that journey with him, as the authors, they continue to bring him into one circumstance to the next, and relationships, and you know, that this character is such a complex character to begin with, because his father committed suicide at a young age, and he was a young boy, he was 11 years old, and he was put out of his arms after shooting himself, and his mother provoking him to do it. So he's very, really damaged, but it's the reason why he became a cardiologist to begin with. Every time he saves a life, it's as if he's bringing his father back. You know, he has gone on this quest, life quest, to fight, stand up to death. That's what he's been doing. So he's very complex, but, you know, in many instances, actors who get to do a play for a limited run, or even nights on television, you might do 5, 6, 7 years, but you count years, that's really competitive. So it's been exciting.
Now, when you're playing for a character for that long, can you, like, and you know him probably as good or better than the writers, can you go to the writers or producers and tell them some ideas you might have for them, for your character?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can. And years ago, one of the more defining moments of my character was the storyline where they introduced the history of my father, and they brought in my mother onto the show, and the character's name is Vanessa. And up until then, the audience knew that I was an antagonist, but they didn't know why I was the way I was, what made me tick. You know, I was a pathologist of character, and I went to the executive producer at the time and the president of the network for Daytime at the time, Angela Shapiro. And I asked, they could bring, I told them, I said, I really feel like we need to bring somebody on this show that really knows me, somebody from my past, that knows my history, that we can introduce the audience to who I am and why I am this way. Because otherwise you would come and we will stay away quickly because we'll just be a nuisance in the eyes of the audience. They won't get it. And they completely agreed, and they created this wonderful storyline for me that really did substantiate the behavior, the pathology of the character. So I loved it. I'm very happy about it.
So you have played this villainous character for so long. Have you had any, strange encounters with the fans where they kind of get you, confuse you and the character?
Yeah, every once in a while. You have to be very standoffish with me. you know, that can't seem to differentiate. I actually just did a radio interview on Long Island 2 days ago, and they brought in a fan. I was to interview on radio. I came out of the elevator. She was there in the lobby with her daughter. And I was very gracious, very friendly with her. I was like, "Oh, you must be the fans coming out to interview." And she was very standoffish with me. Oh, hi. You know, And then even radio, she wasn't warm or friendly at all. And she wasn't, it wasn't like she said anything nasty to me, but she obviously was not a fan of character's antics, his actions. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I hope this woman knows that it's not really me. I mean, people seem to, some people, a small percentage of people, seem to have a difficult time differentiating between reality and fiction. Even years ago, I was doing an event at my church in New Jersey, and it was a Christmas event, and I was part of the event, and the lighting guy that did it said, his mother said she had such a hard time seeing me up there. She said she couldn't get past the fact that I am the character that I am. And there I am, you know, with my children and everything, and they're participating in the church and participating in the holiday, you know, the function that we were putting together. And she just couldn't seem to get past that. That's not me. It's not really me. You know, so every once in a while you get some weird people that have a hard time with it. And I, you know, my feeling is with that, I question, saying, well, what TV shows, what movies have you been watching during the long duration of your life where there are an antagonist? Every show has an antagonist. Mm-hmm. Every story you read has somebody that's an antagonist and a protagonist. That's the key components of storytelling from time immemorial. And like even Bible stories have antagonists. You know,
yeah.
And I don't care if you're like a born again Christian. If you're gonna go see a play that's based on something in the Old Testament, there's gonna be an antagonist in that. And when the person finishes the performance, they walk home and they go back to their regular lives. It's, I mean, the Pharaoh killing, you know, slaves in Egypt. You know, yeah. It's ridiculous. Or King David lusting after his neighbor's wife and killing her husband, you know, to cover up his sin. That's life. That's the way. That's a part of the human enterprise experience. That there are always people that have failings and also even their antagonists and sometimes provoke conflict in the lives of others. It happens.
How do you prepare for a day's shoot? I mean, you've got a ton of dialogue, and it's a full day. Are you preparing the night before? I mean, is your days just like work, and even evenings?
It is, yeah. When especially when you're in a heavy storyline, and I mean, these last 3 months, the storyline was so I was a major player throughout the entire story. Everything seemed to be centered around my character. And I was doing 7-8 shows a week and just being run into the ground, frankly. So during those times, I could be working anywhere from 8 to 14, 15 hours in a day on set, and then going home and learning 30, 40, 50 pages of dialogue for the next day.
Oh my God.
So my hours are sometimes 60, 70 hours a week. You know, there's a lot of work, and those weekends I'm exhausted, and it's just not long enough, frankly. Those weekends don't make up because I'm busy Sunday. You know, even Saturday sometimes as well, working on scripts for the week. You know, trying to get a head start on it and pace myself. It's a lot. It's the volume of material that we produce on a weekly basis is astounding. You know, we did, I think, 242 one-hour episodes this past year. You know, that's like crazy. One-hour episodes, a one-hour nighttime show they shoot in 7 to 9 days. Wow. You know, we do more than an hour show each day. So that should give you some indication. It's an enormous amount of material.
Over time, does your brain just gets used to soaking up all that stuff you see on the page, and it just comes, you know? I mean, is it just like memory?
Yeah, I think it's
muscle training.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've always been very good about memorization. You know, when I was younger, I studied classical piano, and I'm not a good sight reader because I would read the music, and I would read like 3-4 times a Chopin waltz or something, and then put it away, and I would look at it again, and I would just play it by memory. As a result, as I said, I'm not a good sight reader, but I can still play some of the songs from 35 years ago by memory.
Yeah.
I just don't have the technique I used to have back then, because I don't play as much as I used to. But my memory has always been exercised in that way. But the thing is, after I'm done, I basically unload my hard drive. It's gone. I don't have to think about it anymore. And when I see it on TV, sometimes a month later, I could even have forgotten about the scenes. Like, oh yeah, that's right, the scenes about that.
I did.
So that's the way it worked.
What was the last day of shooting like on the show?
It was very emotional. For me, it was sort of an out-of-body experience. I finished my last lines, and I couldn't remember doing the scene. I was doing it with David Canary, who's a brilliant actor, plays Adam Stewart on the show. And it was emotional, but at the same time, it was a celebration. You know, I son. Agnes Dixon gave a beautiful speech, and we all sat up with this beautiful speech that was made for us with the family tree of all my children, and everybody came together with the crew and celebrated together, and we actually had a wonderful sending off party today at the Big W Hotel in Hollywood, the rooftop, and it was really well done. It was very classy.
What are your thoughts about I guess taking this show online? Are you going to participate?
I think it's great. I think it's a bold venture by Prospect Park to want to do this. Their intentions are to do 261-hour shows a year. You know, and they promised the audience they want to maintain the quality and integrity of the show, bring back the cast. You know, but we're still in the beginning stages of that. There's a lot of T's to cross, I's to dot. You know, they've just started reaching out to a handful of actors. The majority of people I haven't spoken to yet, they're still negotiating with our guilds, which is a good thing that they even put themselves out there to want to negotiate with the guild to make sure that everybody that's working on them union and you know, and the protections that a union could provide. So that's what we're trying to do. You know, that's exactly what we're trying to do. And I give them credit. I think that they're visionaries in this, and I think this is certainly the way of the future. So we'll see where it all goes.
So how did you get your start?
How did I get my start? I was going to music college, Berklee College of Music in Boston. And it was there that I started working on a play there. I got involved with a theater company at the school, which was run by my English teacher, a guy named Larry Brenner, and fell in love with it. He asked me if I'd ever desired to be an actor at work to act before, and I said, you know, it's always one of those things I had a natural interest in, but never got off my backside to do anything about it. He invited me to audition for Jean Genet's play called Death Watch, where he thought I'd be right for, and I got the part, and I fell in love with the process. I really did. For me, I found it even sort of therapeutic, because I was spending 6 to 8 hours a day practicing piano by myself in a room every week, every day and a half. And I was becoming more and more antisocial. I didn't get in social to where this was very different for me. I go on stage in front of a group of people having a meltdown, a breakdown, right there, and like flipping out and killing someone on stage. And so to get into the psychology of a person like that and be able to show it through acting, I love the process. And that's where it started. And from there, I kept auditioning for other plays in Boston and got them, and then decided to come to New York and try my hand here. And I did theater for 6 years before I did Guiding Light. It was my first TV appearance in 1983 in a 3-day role. It turned into a 2-year contract. And that's going on. I've worked in television and film ever since.
What's your advice to actors?
You know, I think you only become an actor if you feel that you cannot not be an actor, that you have to do it. Because it's a very difficult vocation, and there are no promises, no guarantees. It's a wonderful vocation if you are able to get the work. And I would say that, you know, perseverance is the key. You know, I can tell you many people that I studied with when I first started acting, and I was a scholarship student with Lee Strasberg, and I in New York before he passed away, and many of those same actors didn't last. You know, maybe a couple of years, 2 years the most, but they didn't persevere. I do believe perseverance is key, that if you keep persevering, opportunities will avail themselves, and you have to be ready, be prepared, you know. Take it seriously. I can't tell you how many times I meet people that are, you know, somewhere even 40 miles outside of New York City. Oh, I can't wait to be an actor. I'd like to be an actor someday. I don't want to be on a TV show, and they're, you know, they're working, doing, you know, making an honest living, working maybe in a restaurant or something. So, well, what are you doing to make that happen? That's a reality. Nothing. Well, why don't you go into New York? You're right here, 40 miles from the city. Go take some acting classes. Go doing some theater in the city. And they're like, I don't know, maybe. Or maybe I'll do that. But, well, that's not a passion. That's not a desire. They're never going to do it. That's a pipe dream. And it doesn't. There's nothing to support it. If you want to be an actor, just like anything else that you want seriously, you have to have a passion for it and a desire for it, because that's the only thing that's going to stay through the amount of rejections that you're going to have to come up against.
Tell me about the tribute to Pine Valley event. That's in October, right?
Yes, the tribute to Pine Valley. We're going to be getting together. I'm going to be there with five other actors from our show. It's Darnell Williams, who plays Jesse, Cameron Matheson, who plays Ryan, Michael E. Knight, who plays Tad, Walt Lilly, plays Jackson, and Jacob Young, who plays JR. We're going to be doing three nights in October. It's October 25th, 26th, and 27th, and one in New York, in Times Square, at a beautiful old theater there, the Town Hall, which we did, all my children, we did our first Broadway Cares event there years ago. And we're going to be in New Brunswick at the State Theater on the 26th of October and on the 27th of October at the NYC Theater in Westbury on Long Island, where I grew up. So that's back to my stomping ground there. So, it's going to be it's unscripted. We're going to be there on stage and doing questions and answers, doing pictures, and there are limited VIP seats available for these events, which give you the best seats in the house, as well as a two-hour personal meet and greet with the actors. Very up close and personal for that, where you get photographs and autographs there. And, we have the best time when we go to do these things. We do them; they're just a blast. The people—they're really a part of the entertainment themselves because they're very outspoken. And we just go with them, and people tell us their loves, their hates, and they get wild and crazy. And we just have the best time, and I think it's a fitting tribute to the coming at the end of the show for here on ABC. So, and you get tickets through a tribute to PineValley.com. That's one way to do it. The other is the phone number. It's 866-364-0330.
Thank you, Vincent, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.